Well, here in Spain, it's time to talk to Chris McCann, the partner of Blevins Franks, and we're going to be talking about inflation today. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard.
Right. Well, I guess it's been, 2 years now since the prices started rising. But inflation here in Spain has finally returned to normal levels, though in the UK, it's still high. So Blevins Franks' Chris McCann is going to give us an update on how inflation is doing, explain how this affects interest rates and investment markets, and also share advice on how to protect our savings from long-term inflation. So Chris, starting locally, what are the inflation levels in Spain like here these days?
Okay, so when looking at Spanish inflation rates, we tend to look at the Spanish Consumer Price Index, or CPI, which is a statistical measure of the prices of goods and services consumed by the population that reside in family dwellings in Spain. However, when looking at CPI, I think it's important to dig a little deeper and look at two different measures of CPI. Firstly, the general index, and also the underlying index. The general index is an overall measure of inflation, and the underlying index is a core measure of inflation and excludes non-processed food and energy products. As you mentioned, it's been 2 years since annual inflation rates began to climb, and on a monthly basis, the general index, or overall inflation, peaked in July of 2022 at a rate of 10.8%. But since then, we've seen a steady reduction to 2.3% last month. However, stripping out food and energy prices, looking at the underlying index or core inflation, it peaked in February 2023 at a rate of 7.6% and has remained relatively high at 6.2% last month. So, what we can conclude from the latest data is that whilst food and energy prices have fallen, inflation in other parts of the Spanish economy remains stubbornly high.
What does this mean for our pockets, though? Is the cost of living coming down?
Well, as I just mentioned, over the previous year, listeners will have noticed some falls in the cost of living, but overall costs remain relatively higher. I think the days when the cost of living in Spain was very cheap are unfortunately long gone, but this is the same all over the globe. That said, according to recent data from the cost of living database Numbeo.com, the cost of living in Spain in 2023 is still much cheaper than in the UK, for example. In the UK, in general, consumer prices are around 28% higher than in Spain. Rents are around 48.6% higher in the UK. Restaurant prices are around 46% higher, and groceries are around 20% higher.
So how does Spanish inflation compare to the rest of the EU?
Well, when it comes to making international comparisons of inflation, again, we need to look at a different measure of inflation called the Harmonized Index of Consumer Prices, or HICP. And when comparing inflation in Spain to inflation across the EU, it is currently significantly lower. Looking at HICP in the EU, inflation peaked at 10.6% last October and has since fallen to around 5.5% in June. However, in Spain, inflation peaked at 10.7% last July and has since fallen to 1.6% in June. So a significant difference.
Let's look at the UK now, since many of our listeners are British. Why has the UK inflation remained higher? And is there light at the end of the tunnel?
Well, look, the UK is in a difficult position in many ways. And it has endured persistently high inflation, with the Consumer Price Index rising by 7.9% in June and core inflation, which excludes food and energy, rising by 6.9%. Whilst this resumed a downward path and is the lowest inflation has been since March 2022, it remains far above the Bank of England's 2% target, and it remains the highest in the G7 group of advanced economies. There are numerous reasons why inflation in the UK remains high. The UK has Western Europe's highest rate of inflation for food, with prices up more than 18% over the past year, down only slightly from a recent peak of more than 19%, the highest since 1977. Freak weather has affected crops around the world, pushing up prices for many countries, but the UK is the third largest net importer of food and drink, according to the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, behind only China and Japan. The UK is also highly reliant on imported gas to generate electricity, exposing it to the full force of the surge in gas prices last year after Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Finally, further to the UK's exit from the European Union, there are now barriers to exports and imports in the form of paperwork, which has caused delays and higher costs. The end of free movement of workers from EU countries has contributed to a shortage of staff faced by many employers that is more acute in the UK than in many other economies, and which has pushed up wages and ultimately prices for consumers. The British public's expectations for rising prices have cooled somewhat in recent months, perhaps the only bright spot for the Bank of England as it monitors the risk of an inflation psychology becoming ingrained in consumer behaviour. But expectations remain elevated, contributing to wage growth at levels that makes the Bank of England uncomfortable about future inflation pressures.
The Bank of England and the European Central Bank interest rates have been rising rapidly in response to inflation. Can you explain in layman's terms why this is and how it works to reduce the cost of living?
Well, it is a bit technical, but I will try and explain in layman's terms. To combat rising inflation, central banks, like the Bank of England and the European Central Bank, can use interest rates as a tool. Interest rates are the cost of borrowing money, and they also influence how much you earn on your savings in a bank account, for example. When inflation starts to rise quickly, the central banks may decide to increase their interest rates. By doing this, they make it more expensive for businesses and individuals to borrow money from banks. Higher interest rates mean that people need to pay more in interest when they take out loans, such as mortgages or car loans. It can also make businesses hesitant to borrow money for investments and expansion. By raising interest rates, the central banks aim to reduce consumer spending and demand in the economy. When borrowing becomes more expensive, people may decide to postpone big purchases or borrow less. Similarly, businesses might delay their expansion plans, leading to reduced demand for goods and services. When consumer spending slows down and demand decreases, businesses may find it harder to sell their products at higher prices. As a result, they might lower their prices. As a result, they might lower their prices to attract customers. This process of reduced spending and lower demand helps stabilize prices and slows down the rapid increase in inflation. By using higher rates to control inflation, the central banks aim to prevent the cost of living from rising too quickly. When inflation is brought under control, the prices of goods and services rise at a more manageable rate. This means that people's wages and savings can better keep up with the cost of living, making it easier for individuals and families to afford their day-to-day expenses. It's also important to note that while raising interest rates can help to control inflation, it can also have negative effects. For example, higher interest rates might make it more challenging for people to get loans for homes or businesses, so central banks need to carefully balance their decisions to ensure overall economic stability.
And does all this affect shares and bond prices and stock markets? Is this a good or bad time to invest?
The relationship between inflation expectations and bond prices tends to be simple in that they behave in an inverse manner. When interest rates rise, newly issued bonds offer higher yields, making existing bonds with lower yields less attractive. As a result, the demand for existing bonds falls, causing their prices to fall. So what we've seen over the last couple of years is a dramatic fall in bond values as both short and long-term interest rates have risen. For example, during 2022, the US 10-year government bond generated a return of around minus 18%. This being the case, bond yields are now much higher and for the first time in around 15 years are looking attractive again. So if you're a balanced investor and have, say, 40% of your portfolio invested in government, corporate or high-yield bonds, you should now be making a return of at least 4% on that portion of your portfolio, which is significantly higher than you've been making for the last 15 years. As regards stock or equity prices, unfortunately, the relationship with inflation is not as straightforward, and there is no catch-all rule that can be applied. In the short term, when interest rates rise, it can lead to higher borrowing costs for companies. As a result, their profitability may be negatively affected because they have to pay more in interest on their loans. This can dampen investor sentiment and lead to a decrease in share prices for some companies, especially those highly dependent on borrowing. Again, we saw the effects of increasing inflation on stock prices in 2022, with the US Standard & Poor's 500, S&P 500 index falling by around 18%. However, over the longer term, companies are able to make adjustments and reduce costs, something which we have seen over the last year with many companies laying off thousands of workers. With lower costs, revenues rise and profits begin to rise and stock prices rise. Since last October, stock prices have started to rise again and the S&P 500 is now higher than it was when the US Central Bank began increasing interest rates. In general, stocks typically act as a hedge against inflation. In other words, the value of a well-diversified portfolio of stocks tends to rise by significantly more than inflation. As for whether it's a good or bad time to invest, I think it's an excellent time to invest. Higher interest rates mean more attractive yields are available on a wide range of fixed interest securities, such as money market funds, government bonds, corporate bonds, and high yield bonds. As regards stock markets, in a world where interest rates have increased from 0% effectively to 5%, there are going to be winners and losers. Hence, it's very important to have professional, qualified investment managers to ensure you invest in the winners and you avoid the losers. If you have the right team looking after you, your portfolio should be able to generate returns that are significantly in excess of current inflation, thereby protecting your wealth. To take advantage, your first step, as always, should be to consult with a financial advisor, such as Blevins Franks, who can help you understand how to benefit.
So finally, Chris, what advice do you have for listeners who want their savings to earn enough growth to keep pace with inflation, but they're also worried about too much investment risk?
Well, while high inflation will put a strain on short-term spending and saving, it can be especially detrimental to long-term investment accounts if not properly planned for. Fortunately, a well-built investment portfolio can help counteract the effects of inflation, and the following tips can help preserve and grow the value of investments in the face of inflation. Firstly, one of the most effective ways to position your portfolio to weather inflation is by investing in a diversified mix of asset types, such as stocks, bonds, real assets, and commodities. Different asset classes tend to perform differently during various stages of the market cycle, and by maintaining a diversified portfolio, you reduce the risk of all your investments being impacted in the same manner at the same time. Historically, equity returns have outperformed inflation over the long term. Investing in a diversified mix of large and small cap stocks, both domestic and international, can help provide you with a long-term growth potential you need to offset rising inflation and protect your portfolio's purchasing power. By owning stocks, you can own the companies raising the prices, causing inflation. You should also consider incorporating an allocation to inflation-protected securities, such as inflation-linked bonds. Inflation-linked bonds are government bonds that change value based on the consumer price index that can provide a hedge against inflation. They offer interest payments that can help your investment keep pace with rising prices. Tangible assets such as real estate and commodities have historically helped hedge portfolios against inflation. Real estate investments have the potential to appreciate in value and generate rental income, which can rise with inflation rates. Commodities also tend to retain value during inflationary periods. When planning for inflation, it's important to regularly rebalance your investment portfolio. Rebalancing is the process of selling off outperforming assets in order to invest in lower performing assets. And while this may seem counterintuitive, it helps prevent your allocation from drifting too far from your target investment ranges. Adding to lower performing assets can be difficult, but it's important to remember the reason it's in the portfolio in the first place. This practice helps offset inflation because it prevents one asset type from dominating your portfolio and throwing off your risk exposure. Finally, periods of high inflation often coincide with challenging market conditions. Economic factors are constantly changing and evolving, so it's important to regularly review your investment portfolio. This practice will ensure your portfolio continues to align with your goals and remains positioned to weather the prevailing economic landscape. If you could use some help ensuring that your investment portfolio is well positioned to outpace inflation, we are here to help. The teams at Blevins Frank specializes in helping our clients financially prepare for challenging economic times, whenever they may surface.
Well, I guess the website is a fount of information.
Yeah, look, if listeners want to learn more, we've got lots and lots of information on there about inflation, etc., all the topics that we cover in these broadcasts. Listeners can visit our website, blevinsfranks.com. They will be able to get the contact details of all our local partners. They will also be able to complete, if they so wish, they will be able to complete a contact form, and somebody from Blevins Franks will be in touch with them as soon as possible to arrange the most appropriate next step.
Many thanks, Chris. We'll talk sometime in the future.
Thanks very much, Howard. Look forward to it.